Hello, this is Jens Johansen from Stradivarius and
Timo Kotipelto from the same band, and you guys are listening to Sonic Perspective.
Moikka, Timo ja Jens. Tervetuloa Atlantaan.
Would you gentlemen like
something to drink?
I'm okay, it's a little bit early.
How did you get this?
Oh, a friend of mine who used to live in Helsinki gave me these just to give to you guys.
Wow, they're even
cold.
So
cold, not so
quickly. Yes, just out of a fridge.
I think we should open them. Listen to the sound, this is sound of Finland.
It's like 5%.
Ah, lonkero.
Before you drink it, put a little bit in here, so...
You can do the honors.
Sip. Now.
Now, since this is audio only, can you please describe what just happened?
Well, this is like sort of traditional Finnish drink. It's like a mix of... it's mix of gin and grapefruit. Mm-hmm. So it's called lonkero. And I think you might even be able to get this in the States. I'm not sure, because I heard some rumors that they're trying to export this stuff. But this is typical summer drink. It's not too strong. It's kind of a...
What like was beer. It? 5.5%.
Yeah, exactly. It's tasty. Very Finnish.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Now, Timo, Jens, you guys played to a near-capacity crowd last night. It was the first Prague Power Festival since before the pandemic. I know personally that the audience was desperate for live music, and this festival in particular. So are you guys as frustrated about the delays as we were? And did you feel that relief coming from the audience?
Yeah, this whole trip was like big chaos for us, because the last guy got his visa 1.5 weeks ago. So then, of course, you can imagine that then you start booking the flights so super late. They were like double or triple the price that they would have been like 6 months ago, maybe. And then on top of this, we were supposed to fly on Wednesday. Then on Tuesday, we got a message from Finnair that our flights for Lauri, me and Rolf, they were cancelled. Then we were like, what the fuck? Then we had to rebook all the flights. And cost more money. And it's been like hell of a ride to get here. Yeah.
Very complicated.
Yeah. You gentlemen look exhausted.
But it's also the jet lag. For us, it's like, you know, we had to perform yesterday. Mm-hmm. when our time zone, I guess it was like midnight, you know, like...
Actually, early morning, like 4 o'clock in Finland when I was on the stage.
Oh, yeah, exactly. 4 o'clock, yeah, exactly.
Well, after all those delays, after all those travels, you hardly slept at all, Timo. And you guys still managed to go on stage at 4 o'clock in the morning, internal time, and you still put on a hell of a performance. On behalf of the entire audience, I would like to thank you guys for doing that. What are your impressions of last night's performance?
It was very... I mean, I think you're right when you say that people have been... It's been bottled up going to live concerts. Because we saw there was like a mosh pit in some of the calmer songs, maybe not like a ballad or something like that, like moshing like crazy, but it was a very, very good audience.
Yeah.
It's usually a good audience here, but you know. So.
Yeah, it was actually surprisingly good to me. Like, then when I saw the reactions from the fans, then I knew it was worth coming over. It everything paid off, so it was fantastic.
I know that this festival is clearly not on the same scale as, say, Wacken or Tuska, but my suspicion, as a longtime attendee of this festival, is that this crowd is just as passionate as the European crowds, who get to see these things all the time. Okay, this is like, what, the third time you guys have been here?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
how does the smaller, crazier crowd compare to the massive crowds in Europe? And back to the audience response last night. I mean, there were mosh pits, there were tears and everything. How did last night compare to the first time that you guys performed here?
I think first time was the same venue, right?
Like, yes.
I think we were also tired. No, or how was it? Maybe not. But I think in general, I think it's progressed in a way. Like, I don't know if it was sold out the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't remember actually. But
I think it might have been pretty close. Yeah. It was a new capacity.
Okay. In general, the audiences here are pretty good. You know, I think in Europe, like you say, maybe they are a little bit more spoiled with having this all the time. You know. Mm-hmm. It's like in Finland, like 10 different metal festivals you can pick from. Like, oh, I go to this one. Or...
I think Finland has 10 different metal bands per square meter.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
So, of course, I mean, if there's only one in a big country, like 300 million people, and there's only one metal festival, and four people have to travel here,
yeah.
Of course they get a little bit more enthusiastic, maybe. Like, mm-hmm.
But now, you guys have both been doing this for a very long time. I'm sure you guys still get an adrenaline rush, though, when you're connecting with the crowd. You guys both had to have dreamt about doing this when you were kids, and here you are doing it. Do you still get that high after all these years?
Last night, like I said, it was fantastic. Of course, adrenaline kicks in, and it helps you, especially when you have like jet lag or no sleep. But in a way, it's also when, especially for me as a singer, it's like, kind of difficult to sing if I don't get proper sleep. That's the main thing. But I think we managed to pull pretty okay show. And of course, it helps when you notice that the fans are supporting you. Then it's like, it was nice, very nice.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to see Stradivarius during the Infinite Tour in Mexico. So first off, thank you guys for recognizing the Latin American metal community. We love our metal, and a lot of guys have recognized that more recently, but you guys were doing that before most, so thanks for doing that.
What year would that have been? 2000,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 2000, Monterrey, at a place called La Escena.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, very, very cold. Like, it was like, wasn't that when we had this... Oh, no, wait, that was Chihuahua, yeah.
Chihuahua was super cold. Yeah, like, nights were like almost in the minus, and daytime was like plus 30 or something in Celsius. Yeah.
Monterrey.
We might have been maybe the first or one of the first European metal bands to ever tour in Latin America. Mm-hmm. That's how I understood it. Could have been. I think we were there in 96, probably.
You were there in 96?
Or 98, maybe.
Or
97.
Oh. 97,
I think,
also. Yeah. Could have been, yeah.
But yeah, I think it's like with this kind of like power metal world, of course there's like a bunch of Finnish bands now, but I think we went to Latin America because of the demand, in a way. Like, I mean, we realized that there was a, you know, we could see the CD sales back then, you know, people were still buying CDs, and you could somehow see where the band was popular, and it was like somehow a possibility. So I guess we just went out on a limb. And I think everybody else in Finland watched us go to Europe, you know, like, because you don't count Finland as Europe somehow. It's like, oh, you go down to Europe now, like. Yeah. And then they saw that, oh, fuck, they have, like, big audiences in Italy and Greece and places like that. And I think a lot of the other bands kind of followed. They saw that we were able to do it, and it's like, how the fuck are they? But maybe we could do it too. And I think you saw a bunch of other bands from Finland, especially around those years. There was like Children of Bodom, there was Sonata Arctica, Nightwish came after us in a way as well. Like, I think the only other Finnish band that was like ahead of us was Amorphis.
Amorphis, and I think Valtari did something, maybe Sentence stuff. Yeah, that's like, the thing. I think Amorphis did some touring at the same time. Yeah.
They might have started even earlier than us, like, but that's like such a different vibe.
Yeah.
You know, that's like not like power metal in the same, it's more like slow music, like, so I think we were definitely part of and shaping this sort of power metal resurgence in late 90s. Like,
yeah, you guys were instrumental in doing that.
Yeah, I think so.
Hammerfall, I think they kind of came up in parallel, and it's like slightly different music, but I think everybody was like looking around and saying, wow, this stuff is actually selling and people loving it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad we went, because how come we went to South America? I don't even remember. Like, whose idea was it?
I don't know. Probably some German booking agency. Yeah. Somebody asked them, like, can we get Stradivarius? And then we were there, like, oh, wow. People in Brazil, they like our music. Wow, wow. It was surprising. But
I think it's also, funnily enough, even though people you know, there was like a bad thing that happened with Nightwish and stuff. But this Marcelo Cabulli might have been the guy that brought us first to Argentina, and I think that might have been like the you know, like the important hinge that we put the other tour around, you know, like, because I remember we did a lot of stuff in Argentina at the time. And the albums came out there, and you know, it's like, so it, all it takes is like this one guy that's like, oh, maybe I can make some money here, you know, like, and then, you know, and we go like, oh, fuck, the audiences are great. And of course, now everybody goes to Latin America, which is nice.
and I'm really, really grateful to you guys for getting that started. I mean, it means a lot. And like, and I don't even live in Latin America. I just go there every now and then for concerts.
It's like, it's somehow a more developed market for us than the States. Like, it's funny.
And I think if we check out like how many fans are liking our, for example, our Facebook page, and the leading country is actually Mexico.
That is no surprise to me.
But it's fantastic for us, you know, it's like...
So that was the, you know, classic lineup 1.0 of Stradivarius that I saw back then. Stradivarius is one of the very few bands I can think of that has had more than one classic lineup. Laurie, Matias, and Rolf, they've each been in the band 10 years at least. And not only have they honored the band's legacy, they've done so bringing in their own flair, their own personalities, their own identities. And I think that that's helped broaden the Stradivarius sound while still remaining true to the Stradivarius sound. So please walk me through that, because many bands would have just gotten copycats and then become nostalgia acts. You guys didn't do that.
Well, I mean, if you think about the set yesterday, we do play a lot of the old stuff because that's what connects... You know, people connect to that stuff, you know, especially in a show like this when they've been waiting 20 years maybe to see the band. Of course, you might have to include some stuff from 20 years ago. But I think to me, it's like, of course, the new albums we make, they are not really copying the old style. I don't know how you see it. I see it as like an experiment, you know.
I think this is like natural development because of the new players. Like you said, they are... All of these guys, they bring their own like style of playing and they, you know, way of composing. So this is like present day Stradivarius, but we still of course respect the past. And of course, like Jens said, we play quite a lot of old songs, but luckily we also have some good songs from the last 15 years. So we can play some newer stuff, so to speak. And now we have a new album coming out, and hopefully In the fall, we can play new stuff as well.
So that album was announced, what, 2 days ago?
It's supposed to be announced today, but it somehow leaked. You know, like, not the album itself, but the news leaked.
And it's like they had to put, like, in the computer the album info beforehand so people could pre-order it or something. And then somebody spotted it, like, wait, what's this? Somebody will always spot it when they see it somewhere.
So now the first single is, like, it's called Survive, and that's also the title of the album. That's out on Spotify and other streaming platforms already. And I think today, in a few hours, the actual lyrics video will come.
Time zone.
I think it dropped 2 hours ago.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, in Europe, we are a little bit ahead. Yeah, that's true.
10 a.m. Europe time.
Yeah.
Hello.
I have not seen you since you played on our album.
Hold on. Jeff, Sarah, and Rich from Mind Maze just walked in. No, come say hello, please. You know, please come say hello.
Hi.
Okay, Jens, you played for these guys? I didn't know about that. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, it was an album they did. I think we met at this promo thing that we did. Yeah, listening party for
like 2013?
Nemesis, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, can you play on my album? And like, okay. No problem.
Sent me something that like first pass. You're like, I just threw it together, and I was like, this is incredible.
This is fucking amazing.
I have not managed to actually see you since then.
Well, we haven't been here so much. That's the thing. Like. Yeah. Of course, now these last 2 years, there was like somebody who ate some bat soup, and then. well, whatever.
All right.
That's how it is.
Thanks for dropping in, y'all.
Yes. So Timo, you were talking about Survive.
Oh, yeah. It was about the lyrics video, I think.
Yeah, it's out now.
It's out now, check it out. And then in a month, I think there's going to be some proper video, and then month after that some other video. So we are planning to, I think we recorded already like two proper videos.
We haven't recorded the videos yet. It's like this, what they do nowadays, they have this like very long cycle before the release. I don't know, like half a year. And again, it's like COVID pandemic. It's also causing problems for record manufacturing. So now it's like the lead time is 5 or 6 months to make vinyl, because the vinyl might be stuck on the ocean on some boat or something.
Yeah.
So it's crazy time still. I mean, you still see these ripple effects of the pandemic, even though it's easing up now. And I think the problems we had getting here are it's the same thing. All of a sudden, everybody wanted to have a passport, you know, and then of course the passport lines are longer, and the visa, everybody wants to have a visa to the US, and the lines are longer for that, like processing times increase. So yeah.
Anyways, the main thing is that the album will be out September 23rd, and it's called Survive.
And the artwork also leaked along with the announcement, and what I'm getting out of it is that it kind of ties into, like, you know, the whole rebirth, rejuvenation, Phoenix thing. You guys have touched on that theme in the past. Does that set the tone for the whole album? Because, like, you know, the title kind of suggests that too.
Well, it's all like, we started to write the lyrics when was it, last summer, basically. Some even before that. At the time, we didn't know anything about that there's going to be a war in Ukraine or anything like this. But then now, when you see this, especially Survive, the single cover, then people ask, like, is it about Ukraine? Well, it didn't happen when we wrote the lyrics, but maybe we saw
exactly. It might happen. Yeah, exactly. It's
the lyrics are quite somehow like semi-negative, but then again, there's a little bit of hope in the lyrics. So
yeah, I think Phoenix and Rebirth, I think when Tolki wrote that song, it was also about, that was like a little bit more personal. There was like this one therapist he was seeing that wrote some book about the Phoenix rising or something, you know, like, so it's like, I'm being inspired by this, you know, like, some Finnish like speaker or philosopher or something like that. But I think what we have done, I mean, some of the songs are maybe a little bit more personal, but it's still more just about how the world is fucked up or not fucked up in general. Like, but yeah, I think it's of course hopeful thing that you could survive. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I think the band has survived also, so it fits on a couple of different levels.
Yeah. Double meaning. Yeah.
Yeah. And you also just mentioned Tolki. I heard that you guys are on good terms these days. Is that true?
Yeah. Like,
Well, he's doing some tours in Latin America, I guess. Some local bands or something.
Yeah, I saw him in Texas this past March. He seems to be in a much better place. And I'm really happy for him.
We have been going through like hot and cold patches with him, like, but right now things are kind of like, you know, easy going, and I think at some point maybe he's understanding what happened, and that it happened for a reason, that you cannot have the past back, or you can't have your youth back or something like that. Maybe it's like more becoming more settled in that.
Yeah.
I don't know really, but you know, he seems, like you say, I think he's in a better place somehow, like.
Kind of sounds like you guys are friendly again, and that's great, you know. And I'm also really hopeful for like the current lineup of Stradivarius, because I know it's been like 7 or 8 years or whatever since you guys made new music, but you guys have been on a roll, you know. It's like I said, classic lineup number two as far as I'm concerned, and that's rare. And yeah, I'm really hopeful for it. Before we move on and start wrapping things up, can you tell us a little bit more about how the album came together and what themes it touches on and so forth?
Well, to me, and probably for Jens as well, the biggest difference to the past albums is that now we composed together. We were actually in the same room, Matthias, Jens and me. Jens came over for two longer trips, and then Matthias and me, we met quite many times during the last 2 years. So some days we didn't have anything, but sometimes he had a riff, and then I had some melody. And then we just started composing, because in the past it was during the Tolki era, he was composing everything, and then Jens had his songs and I had my songs, and then when Matthias came in, everybody was like composing their own songs, and then, you know, you sent the songs by email or Dropbox, whatever, and this is the song, and basically that's how it ended up on the album. But this time we spent a lot of time by arranging especially vocal melodies, because in the past sometimes it happened that I got the lyrics like 5 minutes before I was supposed to sing, and I was like, wow, you wrote these lyrics, huh? They're okay, but they don't fit to the rhythm. How am I supposed to fit this in? Too many words, you know. Like, but now we actually tested everything out, and it was a super nice process. And of course, this is more common for some other bands and older bands. But nowadays, thanks to internet, it's not laziness in our case, especially during these 2 years. It just wasn't. It wasn't possible for Jens, for example, to travel during some months. So. But now we changed the whole composing process, and I think it's paying off.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if people like the album. Well, I feel it's very strong, actually. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
you never know. Yeah. Well, I haven't heard the new single. Like I said, it just dropped a couple hours ago. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it. Timo, Jens, thanks so much. I've got one more question, and it's for you.
Oh, no.
Jens, when was the last time you blew up a toilet?
I think it's that one time in 1999 or whatever it was, like.
Budapest.
Yeah, it's the only time. Oh wait, it's the second time. But that's the last time.
And now more of the music you want to hear. Hello? Is this thing on?
Keep going.
Hello?